Welcome to Monmouth College. We are live with Pranav Kothari. He is the chair of the Illinois Board of Higher Education. Had a nice tour today of Monmouth College. Welcome to our location here in Monmouth.
Thanks so much for having us. We had a great tour. We are thrilled to have Natalie tour us around the campus. She was a fantastic spokesperson for the campus, and great to see all the good academic work that's happening here on campus.
What did you think when you stepped on campus?
Beautiful. It felt like college. You know, you walked on. I was sharing earlier that I grew up in Pittsburgh, spent a lot of time on campuses of this type, small liberal arts colleges in and around Pittsburgh. And it felt very much like that to me, very accessible. And when I heard there's 750 students here, you can imagine how much access they have to professors, supports throughout their academic careers.
You have a wonderful background in academics. I was reading through your biography, and kind of tell us a little bit about you and how you made your way to being the chair of the IBHE.
Sure. Grew up in Pittsburgh, undergrad in WashU in St. Louis, and grad school at Michigan in business. And I'd spent basically 20 plus years of my career in the college access and success space, initially in Ohio, in and around Cincinnati, and around the state in Ohio. Moved to Chicago in 2005 and started doing similar work on a consulting basis with a lot of organizations, both in and around Chicago and in Illinois and across the country. And in 2019, I got a call to see if I was interested in potentially joining the Board of Higher Education as a member, which I was happy to do. This gives me the opportunity to sort of flex some policy muscles in the college access and success space while also doing my day job on the business side of that. In the fall, our chair at the time, John Atkinson, was asked by the governor to chair another board, Intersect Illinois, and we had talked about the opportunity to see if I'd be interested in chairing, and I've been doing it since the fall.
Okay. And Chairman Kothari, tell us about today's discussion. This is exciting to have the board here on campus at Monmouth College. Typically, you know, you think of these things in much bigger cities, so it's nice to have it here on a small liberal arts campus.
Yeah, it's been a priority for the board historically, as I understand it, to spend at least some of our board time on college campuses. We know it's actually a significant burden that the colleges put out to actually host us, but we're thrilled to be able to do it. It gives our board members the opportunity to connect with other higher ed leaders across the state to just learn about what are the pressing higher ed issues that are taking place. Our meeting today, we'll open actually with a panel discussion really focused on how higher ed and workforce are connecting around rural students and making sure that there's a strong connection between academic pathways for rural students into the workforce. So we're excited about our panel discussion today, and then we'll go into a presentation by our student advisory committee. We have a group of committees that the board convenes, faculty advisory committee, student advisory committee, which again just has an opportunity for various stakeholders to share more about what issues they're facing and how the board can potentially be helpful in addressing those.
Do you see the same challenges in other states with higher education as you see right here in Illinois?
Absolutely. I think we have a whole variety of challenges in the higher ed space right now, from funding to making sure that people still see value in higher education, which, again, as chair of the board, I obviously do, and as a beneficiary of an incredible higher education opportunities coming up, I certainly do. And we know that the data tells us that higher ed is the most efficient way for a lot of students to make their way from wherever they are to wherever they want to go.
Sure. Well, it makes a difference, they say, in total money being able to make, quality of life. There's many reasons why trade schools and higher education have value to students. So what are the challenges facing rural students? And are they the same challenges that were here, say, a decade ago or even two decades ago?
Interesting. So I think for rural students, I think the big it's the similar challenges that many face. One, do we see value in higher education? Do we see a really meaningful pathway that is cost effective and that is going to put me in a place where I'll be more likely to be successful to have those higher earnings, higher quality of life, and more opportunities? I do think we have enormous financial burdens and obstacles to pursuing higher education. We know that. We're doing everything we certainly can from the Board of Higher Ed standpoint. I know the governor is doing the same to make sure that college remains financially accessible to more and more students. And then I think the third piece that I see is particularly for rural students, and I saw a lot of this in Ohio as well as I do in Illinois, is that, you know, the jobs that were in a lot of communities, particularly rural communities 20 years ago, are maybe not as available for many students. And so all of a sudden the idea of that I will go pursue my higher education and then maybe have to leave my community is maybe not as appealing for a lot of students, especially if they're deep family roots, especially. So how do you make sure that we can create those local job opportunities for those students if that's their interest, but then they also have the ability to go wherever they want?
Well, you bring up exactly what this community has faced, especially with Galesburg for our region, the lack of the factories that we've lost in Monmouth College. Robin Johnson, one of the lecturers here, has done a lot of studies into where are people now that used to work there and where are they today. The challenge becomes those factories, while they had terrific jobs for people who did not pursue higher education, for whatever reason, not everyone is going to go to college, but it included jobs like HR, business, sales, administrative, engineering, and yeah, those jobs have disappeared into our larger metro areas.
Absolutely, and I think that's one of our big challenges. And again, I grew up in Pittsburgh and born in the mid-70s and saw a lot of the steel industry do exactly what you just described, right? My drive from downtown to my neighborhood in Pittsburgh was lined with steel mills growing up, and a lot of those steel mills are now replaced by new sectors, new industries. So I think that's where higher ed has the unique opportunity to say that even if we're focused on place-based opportunities, what's the new sector that can come in? What is it? Is it biotech? Is it, you know, we're obviously doing a lot of work around EVs in the state. Is it around agriculture? Is it around bioscience? What are those new opportunities where we can still have place-based opportunities that just require a different level of training and skill?
Okay. How do we make college more cost-effective? It seems like, and I'm like you, I grew up really in the 80s, born in the 70s, though. So we had a lot of similarities when we probably went to college. We were there on part scholarship. That's something that seems to be not as many people applying for that used to be. Those are great opportunities. We had the different grants. Back then it was the Stafford and Pell grants, rather. And then we did a lot of work study. Mm-hmm. And we also got jobs off campus.
Absolutely right.
Had to have some kind of, you know, food money or whatever. What happened to those traditional ways of paying for college? Do they still exist? Or is it just more challenging to do that? And what do you think has caused the rise in cost for education?
So I think a couple of dimensions there. One, a lot of those pathways are still available. We still have Stafford loans. We still have Pell grants. We still have loans that are available for families to take out. For better or worse, there's still a private loan industry that's focused on higher education. So the ways to pay are similar. Institutions still have scholarships. In Illinois, we obviously have the MAP grant. We have the AIM High grant program as well, which are state funded, which are great opportunities. The challenge is some of those opportunities have just simply not kept up with the cost of college. We're obviously in a broad inflationary period right now, but we've all heard about higher ed inflation for many, many years now. So now even to use Stafford loans, which we may have been able to do some combination of like Stafford loans, Pell grants, et cetera, to pay for college, that top line number that you're going to get to is usually not going to be enough to pay for a lot of universities in certainly in the state or across the country. So I think the big question then becomes, how do we make sure that families are seeing a positive return on that higher ed experience, knowing that they'll have to maybe put in their own money or their own savings, which is a significant ask of a lot of families, particularly if we think about, folks that are coming up now in high school, and if their parents used Pell grants and Stafford loans to pay for college, and they're saying, well, wow, now that just doesn't close the gap enough for us. So now I do think the institutions that are going to be able to put institutional aid in place and figure out really smart pathways for students that are cost effective are actually going to start winning out now. And that we have a lot of those opportunities in the state of Illinois, but that's our big challenge right now. Of, it's speed to degree and effectiveness of that degree.
Okay. And then how do we tackle in parts of our state, and this is true nationwide, the lack of population? We have seen, folks depopulate our area for various reasons and opportunities existing in other locations because these factories or steel mills are gone. How do we tackle that challenge?
I think it's going to be, build it and they will come, right? So that's my theory on this. People will move to jobs. Right now we see a lot of the new opportunities in places like Arizona and Florida and Texas. And we have no there's no reason we can't be creating similar job opportunities here in the state. And I know the governor's office and folks like Intersect Illinois are really focused on how do we create, you know, jobs at scale, not the onesie twosies, but the factories that are hiring hundreds, thousands of individuals. Sure. And so I think that's the big push. You have to have, you know, you can't just rely on folks to say, like, oh, I'm going to stay here for the sake of staying here. You have to create a reason for them to be here. And I think that's, you know, job opportunities are, we know, number one, my parents moved here from India for job opportunities. You know, I moved to Chicago for job opportunities. And that's, you know, we will, as a population, we'll continue to do that.
Okay. And hopefully we can bring population back to towns like Monmouth or Warren County, Henderson County. It would be nice to be able to get back to some of the traditional 80s, 90s when things were really thriving. And then, of course, we had a major recession in 08. And now here we are with inflation and other various aspects coming off a major pandemic. Can't control the world, can we?
Nope, absolutely not. But we can control what we can. And I think these opportunities of what Monmouth is doing and some of the local universities here to create some of those new workforce opportunities is exactly the right work to be doing.
Okay. And toughest question of all, we're talking with Pranav Kathari. He's the chair of the IBHE here on campus today at Monmouth College to have a panel discussion and try to tackle all kinds of challenges for Illinois higher education learning. Toughest question, you being a Steelers fan, Kenny Pickett or Russell Wilson?
The best, if Russell Wilson outplays Kenny Pickett in training camp, then Kenny Pickett's on NFL quarterback. If Kenny Pickett outplays Russell Wilson in training camp, the opposite is true. And I can only hope for some saving grace that emerges us out of this, you know, onesie twosie years of years of quarterbacking. Excellent question, though.
Yeah, well, it just happened, right?
Excellent. Yeah, it just happened. Steelers have picked up Patrick Queen from the Ravens, which is a huge get for the team. So I do think there's an opportunity here, but it's a tough division. It's obviously a tough conference with Buffalo and Kansas City. Cincinnati's going to be back. Ravens are going to be – they got King Henry now, so they're going to be very, very tough. So it is, as I described to some college buddies the other day, we are staring down the barrel of a 9-8 season once again.
And poor Tomlin, how many seasons can you go to the playoffs and not win?
Exactly.
It's like the Dallas Cowboys.
Exactly. Since 2016, we are craving a playoff. Penguins are staring down the barrel of a 500 season as well this year. So I guess our hope rests eternal with the Pirates this year.
And I wouldn't do that, although they improved last year.
Exactly right. They could be a breakthrough team this year.
Well, you sound just like our sports director. He's all of those things, Penguins, Pirates, and Steelers.
Absolutely,
so, right. Hey, thanks for taking time to talk to
us. Thank you so much. It's been really great to be here, talk to you, be on the campus of Monmouth College, and we're looking forward to a great board meeting.
Okay. That is Pranav Kathari. He is the chair of the IBHE here at Monmouth College. We'll be back with more.